here. I know you're here to worship God. It's great to see Ryan. I always love seeing Ryan because he always smiles at me. I don't know if he's laughing at me or smiling at me, but it doesn't matter. It's a good warm feeling. We've been very blessed lately. We've had lots of visitors on Sunday morning. We've got the prospect of having a number of other visitors in the next week or two. And I just wanted to start off by saying how much I appreciate y'all making them feel at home. There's nothing like coming into a congregation and immediately people showing interest in you. Now, the first thing you want to know is what they want of you, but after that you think, well, maybe they're genuinely interested. And so I really have appreciated that. I've also appreciated through the years, and this will apply to the older ones now, the ones that are older than 28, let me put it that way before I get myself in trouble, that have been here for that many years, how much I appreciated your giving me time to grow into the job. I had been a real estate appraiser, not a preacher, before I started preaching. Now, I had certainly taught over 1,000 times. I was familiar with the Bible, hopefully, and all, but it took me a while to feel comfortable. And y'all really helped me out. Y'all were kind to me. You prayed for me, and I'm in your debt for that. It has been a marvelous 28 years, and I'm looking forward to the next part. I'm not retiring, by the way, as I've told so many of y'all. I'm just retiring from a paycheck, although that may not be true. I see Clay's not here tonight, but Clay had mentioned some kind of a retirement package, and so I wanted to talk to him a little bit more about that. That was the first I'd heard about it. I thought maybe he knew something I didn't, but he's not here tonight, and so I guess somebody had warned him about that. But again, thank you for that. And I know that you'll give Josh the same encouragement. I've seen it for 6 months already. And I can tell you on his behalf, it's important to have that. It's important to have y'all praying for us. And especially in a congregation where we've got so many able people. I would guess half a dozen that could make a career of preaching, really seriously, and probably even more than that if they put their mind to it. We've got a lot of people who have a talent at that, and so that to me really helps, keeps us on our toes, certainly. But it really does help. So thank you all again, and thank you for doing that. Our congregation has every potential to grow and to be stronger and have a greater outreach into the community. And it's important that we do that because these are souls that we're seeking. We have never had any money problems that I've been aware of since we've been here. We're not seeking people so we can get the contribution up. And numbers on the board by themselves don't mean anything, but each number represents a soul. And each soul represents who knows what sphere of influence that soul will have on others in their life. And so it behooves us to do our best for God as a local congregation and to do our best as servants. That really is the purpose of today's lesson, this idea. Let me give you a Reader's Digest version of the example I started with, because you just heard it, most of you. But the idea... this is a true story. A guy I had when he was a little boy, his grandmother lived with him, and she'd always beat him in Monopoly, and he finally beat her. And he was 10 years old at the time, he said, and he handled it with all the grace and the dignity that a 10-year-old boy handles victory with. And he was gloating and strutting about and really enjoying it. And his grandmother, he said, taught him the most important lesson at that point. She said, "It's all fine and good, but remember at the end of the game, everything goes back into the box." And I thought a lot about that since I've heard that, because so much of our lives are enjoyable pursuits of things that go back in the box. And while it is perfectly appropriate to enjoy appropriate pursuits, and it would be kind of ungrateful of us to be given so many good things by God and not to enjoy them and not to appreciate them, we can't get them out of balance. And so the last part of the introduction this evening that we had from this morning is from Elihu's statement in Job 34, starting in verse 14, talking about God. And he says this: if it were his intention and he withdrew his spirit and breath, all mankind would perish together and man would return to dust. If you have understanding, hear this and listen to what I say. It's so important for us not to get our lives out of balance or out of perspective. Now, it's almost impossible for we mere mortals to do that. We are always getting it out of balance and out of perspective. But the idea, if we can keep in mind that truly we're here because God made us, we're here because God breathed life into us, and if he were to withdraw that breath, we would cease to be here. There's only one reason we're here, and that being the fact, it's really important for us to focus on the most important. And again, enjoy the physical, of course, the things that are rightful to enjoy. That's one of the things that will attract people to the church, by the way, if they see that you are appreciative of the blessings of God. But your main goal, your main focus has to be spiritual. And if you're like me, sometimes we get that backwards, don't we? We treat physical life like a game that we pull out of the box. And we take the game and we make it our life. And then God and Christ and the instruction they give us, which are referred to in Scripture as our life, sometimes we put them or attempt to put them into a box. And then we just want to pull them out when we want to have the game or where we want the benefit of them. And as I say, it's backwards. We've got to keep our mindset in the right direction. Paul addresses this in 1 Timothy when he's writing to Timothy. I always liked 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, because these are young preachers. And he says to him, it's instruction to everybody, mind you, but the application is personal as well as the broad application to the church. But in 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, Paul says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. I used to say that George Loomis was the head of security for the Veterans Administration where he worked, and he explained to me that he was the chief of police for a multi-state region. head of security sounded impressive to me. and he was nice. He didn't pistol whip me or anything, but it wouldn't have done him any good. Dale served as law enforcement for years. It wouldn't have done him any good. Ryan served as law enforcement for years. Wouldn't have done them any good had they gone into their job without being aware that their guns were loaded and that they had enough ammunition to take care of what might come up. They would have to watch that closely. Especially if there's somebody like Jared around who just collects weapons indiscriminately and you never know when they're going to go off. But the idea is when Paul, through inspiration, says to watch your life and doctrine closely, it's something that we should look at as a matter of life and death. We carry God's instruction with us because they're the words of life. They're the words that will bring life to other people. And so we need to feel that vital responsibility. And again, this idea of don't forget that at the end, everything physical goes back into the box. James chapter 4 and verse 13. And this one could have been written to me. It could have been addressed to me because I have problems forgetting that sometimes. James 4:13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What's your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Now James is not insinuating for a moment that we don't make physical plans. As a matter of fact, as you read through Scripture, you find there's an obligation to make physical plans. What James is talking about, what God is having James talk about, is this presumption where we just assume that whatever we want to do will happen. It's going to work out this way, and it's going to work out this way, and then I'm going to do this, and it's going to line up just like that. Well, life doesn't work that way. And sometimes when it doesn't work that way, we become disillusioned. Or sometimes it works the way we think it's going to, and we become proud because we're so great. We're so good at doing that when we see others around us failing. And we just don't need to miss the point that while we do have many things that we have to make plans for, and sometimes long-term plans for, we have to remember that we're just a mist. We're just here for a little bit. It stuns me that I've been here for 63 years. My body will acknowledge this immediately, but I can't remember who was talking about it. My mind has a hard time with that. You know, in my mind, I'm still somewhere in my late teens or early 20s. And if you ask Carolyn, my maturity level is somewhere between 4 and 6. But the fact is, I was figuring it up. I've lived a little over 23,000 days. Yeah, George is looking and said, "Man, I thought I'd listen to you that long. Surely it's more, but it's not. It's 23,000 days." And when I look back at the days that are gone, they really are a mist. They've dissipated like a mist. And the future is the same thing. The future is a little bit hazy as well. And so the only thing that we have solid is right now. It's today. And so, since the only thing we have is right now, we need this attitude of, if it's the Lord's will, this is what we'll do. Peter talks about this, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. I was going to say to Justin, don't worry, if it wasn't Ellie, it would be Catherine if she was here, but Catherine's not here. Isn't it wonderful to have life? And I just think it's wonderful to have parents that train up their children. We're blessed. 2 Peter 3, starting in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. I mentioned before, I've been around for a lot of days. Not one of those days has Christ come back. And the more days you live, the less likely it will seem to you that Christ's return is imminent. On the other hand, the more days you live, the more you realize that even if he doesn't come back before you die, your time could come at any moment. And that's okay because we're eternal. We're not here for the physical. We're eternal. But the point is, it's so important that we have the right perspective. When Christ comes back, everything physical is going to be destroyed. And since that's the case, he says, what kind of people ought you to be? And so it behooves us to ask that question. What are you here for? When I was in college, I have to confess, my parents were paying my tuition the first time around. That's why there was a second time around. But I can't say that I took my education overly serious the first few years I was in college. And there was a group of us in the dorm that got together and we started playing Risk. Risk is a simple game of dice and armies and world domination. it's like Monopoly for megalomaniacs is what Risk is. And we would play that every day, every evening. And we'd play it into the wee hours of the morning. And sometimes that would cut into my schooling. You know, sometimes the 8 o'clock class was not as easy to get up for, or the 9 o'clock class. Sometimes 10 o'clock chapel was a little bit difficult to get to as well. I had things mixed up. I was taking the game too serious, and I wasn't taking the serious and putting it in its proper light. Our jobs are important. If a man will not work, neither should he eat. By the way, that's generic. That applies to women as well. And so we know we have obligations there. But sometimes we forget that the physical part that is a requirement, that is necessary, isn't the primary. You do have to work, sometimes a lot of hours. Take God with you. You do have to work, and sometimes in difficult environments, make sure that God is guiding the way you do your work or the way you conduct yourself in school or wherever you're at. The idea is you're a Christian first, and then you can fill in the blank as far as what you do. Even parenting, as vital as that is, sometimes we get that wrong, especially as dads. And I think the reason is because we feel such an obligation to make sure there's food on the table and a roof over their heads that gets the focus instead of where are they at spiritually? Am I giving them just what they need there? Am I putting first things first? And sometimes we don't do as good of a job as we need to. Get things in their right priority, because there will come a day where this world ends, whether for you personally before the judgment or whether the second coming comes and then the judgment. And just as you will kneel before God, so too will your friends, so too will your children if you have children, so too will those who are important to you. And that'll be the only thing that matters at that point. It won't matter how you did at life's game of Monopoly. Because all that stuff will burn. And that's what Paul reveals in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 10, after Paul talks about building your spiritual life right, or in the middle of that conversation, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10, by the grace God has given me. I love the fact that he starts with grace. We don't deserve it. Paul didn't deserve this second chance to do the wonderful things that he was allowed to do for Christ, but God gave him that chance. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. Again, God's grace allowed him to do it in an expert fashion. Someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than that which has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Our lives have to be built on Christ for our lives to have any meaning at all. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. That means everything physical is going to burn, including our physical bodies. And if all we're doing is raising our physical kids to be good citizens of this world, which is important, then their physical body is going to burn, and it's going on to hell for the next stage. And so will you, after you give your explanation to God. If you've been a successful business person, but you have not put God first, that's going to burn, and so will you. Paul, God, through Paul, is trying to make it crystal clear. Everything that we have that's going to go back into the box is going to burn. But the things that are left, that's what we live for. You start with your soul, because if you're not right before God, you can't help anybody. But then you start circling out. And there's no telling how many people, as you circle out, that you help in their Christian walk that are also circling out. And they're helping others in their Christian walk. And this is what we need to do. And the fire is going to reveal that, because those are the things that will remain. If you receive eternal life from God in heaven because of His grace and the shed blood of Christ, and also because you did your part, then the fire is going to reveal something beautiful. But if you don't, everything's going to burn. And He wants us to have that perspective. And 14, if what He built survives, He'll receive His reward. If it's burned up, He'll suffer loss. He Himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. There's a lot of possibilities as to what that means, but here's one of them. What if by God's grace and Christ shed blood, because we've accepted the basic terms of His covenant, we are saved, but we haven't lived as productive of a life as we could have? And there are others that are not saved because we didn't. I was afraid I might lose their friendship. I was afraid I might push them away from the family. I was afraid. And though you might be saved, and God will be praised for that, it'll be a glorious day, there will still be a loss, and that loss is significant. Because very likely He's talking about those we could have helped that we didn't. And so, while we've already made these mistakes, every one of us have, the idea is let's get serious with what we have left. I know you are. You wouldn't be here tonight if you weren't. But for those of you who are already serious, keep up. Keep up the good work. And keep the fight up. Keep the struggle up. And don't forget to enjoy it. Because the game, the physical things, can be very fun. And I think God put the physical things for here for us to enjoy. But never lose sight of the spiritual. We're going to heaven, and we need to live our lives as if we really believe that. God's made all the arrangements. Have we done our part? The invitation's open. If you need to become a Christian, we'd encourage you to come forward and let your needs be known while we stand and sing.